Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Fadl al-Itqi, the chapter on the virtues of freeing slaves. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought the ayat of the Quran. As we mentioned, the style of the muhaddithin would be to bring ayat of the Quran, thereafter bring a hadith proving the chapter they brought, the heading they brought. So he brought the ayat of the Quran. So happened we read this ayat also in today's Fajr namaz. فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ فَكُّ رَقَبَةِ. Allah Pak says, for what reason does man not emerge from the abyss? This word Aqaba actually means a mountain path, a road that is cut through a mountain. Normally you'd find it is a very dangerous road, because at places it will be very narrow, sometimes it might be very windy on the top, sometimes the path to climb might be slippery, or it may be a very very thin path a person has to go, and if he slips, he can fall right down. So it's a very dangerous path. Aqaba, very dangerous road. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, why does man not emerge from this abyss, from this dangerous road? And then, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ. Well, what will inform you of what this abyss is? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, فَكُّ رَقَبَةِ. That saving oneself, emerging and freeing oneself from this abyss, actually, the way to do it, the method is that a person should set slaves free. He should set slaves free. Now, to understand this in context, very often, because of the lack of understanding and because of the attack of the West on Muslims, that how can Islam allow slavery? How did Islam allow slavery? Such a cruel thing, such a brutal thing. But there's, because of the lack of understanding, but always remember that in that time and in that age, in that era, slavery was a normal practice. It was practiced by the West, it was practiced by the East, it was practiced by every nation at that time practiced slavery. And it was practiced in a very cruel and brutal manner. Islam came in now and showed how do we treat our slaves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that they are your brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed them under you, but they are your brothers. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba that feed them from what you eat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clothe them from what you wear. And do not overburden them as far as work is concerned. And if you happen to give them work that would burden them, overburden them, then what you should do is fa'inuhum, then you must assist them with the work. So this was the izzah that Islam had given as far as slaves were concerned. And if we just do a little bit of reading and see how the transatlantic slave, how the Americans were treating slaves not very long ago, that these slaves taken from Africa, the blacks taken from Africa, were treated worse than animals. They were shackled, they were tied down, they were put into ships. And sometimes so many people were put into ships that they didn't have a place to sit, they had to stand most of the way. And many, many, many thousands of people would die because of diseases and because of sicknesses before they could even reach the shore of America. So here we find that Islam on one side is showing respect, showing love, and many examples in the history of Islam where the slaves would live with the masters, and there was such a bond of affection that they would become the students of their masters, and thereafter they would quote hadith from their masters. Famous chain known as the golden chain, Silsilatu Zahab. Ya Hazrat Salim radiallahu anhu, Salim an Nafi an Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that this Nafi was actually the freed slave of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar. And now he's quoting hadith from his ustad. So now his ustad was his master. So much of love there was. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would constantly exalt Sahaba that free slaves and the reward and the benefit. So this chapter now is showing us on the benefit of freeing slaves. So at that time when slavery was practiced in such a cruel manner, Islam is actually showing that this is how we should be treating these people. They are not people that should be treated like animals. In fact, it is mentioned in the book, in the history books, that in Europe, a black person would be brought and he would be actually placed in a museum, tied up and jailed in a museum. So people would come to see that there's a different type, species that has come, like how you'd get a different animal. In an animal, you'll get a different, like how a person will go to the zoo and he'll see different types of animals. Here he'll come to see one different species that has come, is a black species that has come, and people will be so impressed that yes, there's another type of human being that has come. So this is how people would treat the slaves. And here we'll find and we'll see that how Islam is showing us to treat slaves, and so much of encouragement is in Islam that a person makes zihar, and now zihar is one type of way that they would give talaq. And now if you want to save or free yourself from that you have done, then one of the ways is freeing a slave. One sahabi, he slept his slave girl. He comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him that for that mistake you made, you free her. And then the different benefits and fazail that are given in a hadith to such an extent that Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he had freed more than 30,000 slaves himself. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he had freed more than 1,000 slaves. And on one day, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu had freed more than 8,000 slaves on one day. So this was Islam was doing, teaching and encouraging that these are your brothers, treat them with respect, love with them with respect. And from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn that Islam was actually showing what humanity is, what love is, what respect is, and how one person should treat and love the next Muslim brother. Sometimes we don't know these facts. So therefore, when people attack Islam on slavery, then we think, hey, how come Islam is like this? But we ourselves don't know of how much of respect and love Islam actually brought to slaves. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أعتق رقبة مسلمة أعتق الله بكل عضو منه عضوا منه في النار حتى فرجه بفرجه. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned to me that person, that if a person flees, if a person frees a Muslim slave, for every limb of his, Allah Pak will free one of his limbs from the fire of Jahannam, even his private part. Now we might think to ourselves that every limb of that person that he is freeing, Allah Pak will free a limb of his from the fire of Jahannam. So in other words, that person that he has freed has got a hand, Allah will free his hand from the fire of Jahannam. That person has got legs and that person has got a body, Allah Pak will free himself from the fire of Jahannam. What an exaltation this is to free people, to free slaves that are under the control of any person. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned that to such an extent that even the private part, the reason why specifically Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this is because many gunas are committed by the private parts. So even this sin that is committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free a person because of freeing a slave. So much of reward is given for freeing slaves. One more hadith under this chapter. And Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu qal, قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الأعمال أفضل. Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he mentions that I asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is the best of actions? قال الإيمان بالله والجهاد في سبيل الله. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم replied, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and striving in his path. قال قلت أي الرقاب أفضل. I then asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that which is the best slave to set free. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم replied, قال أنفسها عند أهلها وأكثرها ثمنا متفق عليه. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم replied, a slave that is most valued by his masters and the one with the highest price, that is the best slave to free. So here again we realize that despite that slave that is working and is the best one to the master has the most amount of love, has the most amount of attachment. Islam is telling us that is the best slave that you can free. And the most expensive slave is the one that you can free. So here again we learn that Islam is teaching us that spend even on these people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us so much. Islam has showed so much of respect, adab, izzat for slaves. So therefore we should never ever think that how cruel Islam is. This isn't a thing like that. Islam is always teaching and promoting humanity, kindness, akhlaq, etiquettes. This is at the forefront of what Islam is teaching. So Islam has actually taught the world that this is how you treat the people that are below you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. In our time and age, there's no slavery, but we got people that are under our employ. We got employees. Let us show them that love, show them that respect, show them that adab. After all, it's their du'as that will carry us. It's their du'as that will allow us to benefit. Therefore, ulama explained so nicely, such a nice way. He said that many times that our businesses are prospering because of the efforts of our workers. So we are actually making money because of our workers. So from one dimension, they are our partners. They are our partners. because a partner is one that will help the other partner to make money, to promote that business. So from one angle they are our partners, that they are helping us to promote the business, to make that money. And from one dimension they are our workers. So one dimension they are our partners, and one dimension they are our workers. When it comes to making mistakes, when the employees comes to makes mistakes, then we should look at them as our partners. How we would treat our partner when our partner makes a mistake, that we are more forgiving to our partner. Why? Because he's at our level, so we'll overlook that mistake that he will make. So when an employee makes a mistake, then look at him as though he's your partner and overlook that mistake. And when it comes to remunerating this person, and when it comes to paying him and looking after him, then also look at him as though this person is your partner. How you would like to pay and keep your partner happy, always try to keep your employee happy. And then when it comes to taking responsibility, now you look at him as your employee. And normally the employee would take less responsibility than the partner. Partner will take much more responsibility over the expenses, over the concern, over the security, over the worry, over every department. When it comes to worrying about this person taking responsibility, then look at him as an employee. When a person looks at his staff like this, automatically the bond and love between staff and employee take place. Automatically that love is there. The staff themselves are more motivated to work, and not only that, there's a high level of barakah that comes into that business or that practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. And there's one other great advantage of a person looking after his staff. Besides the du'as that they give him whilst he is alive, you'll find that person that passes away and his staff are happy with him, then even after he's gone, they make du'a for him. One brother was mentioning to me that just after that manager that had passed away in the garage here, just after he had passed away, he went to the garage for some reason and he saw that all the staff were crying. So he was surprised that why is all the staff crying? He said, no, that our boss just had a heart attack and they rushed him to hospital. So every one of them was crying because they were so attached to him. And they didn't even allow that the ambulance must come. They themselves rushed him, they put him into one vehicle and they took him to hospital. Why must we wait for the ambulance to come? This is our boss. We got such a great attachment for him that we won't allow any delay even in taking him to the hospital. They loaded him themselves into the car and they took him to the hospital. So this is what happens when staff have got love for the manager, for the boss. Not only they make dua, they look after the welfare of the business, they look after the welfare of the boss, and also after the person is gone, they are the same staff that will make dua for the person. May Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.